Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
So glad you could be here with me as we continue in our sermon series, Stressed But Blessed. Stressed But Blessed. We started out last week. And I just had to be honest, like this time of quarantine, I don't know, we're in week whatever of quarantine, week 1000. I don't even know anymore. But what I do know is that these are interesting times for humanity and they can be very stressful. And if you're not careful, you can allow that stress to overwhelm you. No matter how stressed you get, never forget that you're blessed. And we started taking a look at the Beatitudes. These are 8 blessings that Jesus talks about in his famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And they really actually, the Beatitudes should actually shift your attitude because they're attitudes and their values that give you the character of Christ. And we talked about a word called sanctification last week, the process in which we become more like Jesus. Well, these Beatitudes or these blessings are values that we really need to hold on to as Christians to help us be more like Jesus. And last week I preached a message called Get Low, because the Bible talks about blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit doesn't mean that, you know, that something's wrong with your spirit. It just, you realize how much without God you are actually lacking. We are supposed to be rich in faith, but we're supposed to be poor in spirit. I'm proud to be poor in spirit, because when I'm poor in spirit, God has room to fill it. And we talked about getting low. If you want to find heaven, you got to be humble. You got to get low. This week, as we continue in the second part of Stressed But Blessed, I want to keep on going with the Beatitudes. And I want to pick it up right now in Matthew chapter 4. And then we'll also be reading, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. And then we'll also pick it back up in John chapter 11, verses 32 through 36. I encourage you. I got my Bible here. Make sure you get a Bible. Also, I got my notepad, man. I encourage you, man. Take notes. I promise you. They may not help you right in this moment, but they'll point you back to something in Scripture that could be a blessing to you. You could take notes on your phone. Take notes in your Bible. Do whatever you got to do, but make sure that you're actually taking notes, because they can be a blessing to you in this season of your life. So, with that being said, let's get right to it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 reads something like this. And I'm reading it right out of here in the NIV. That's the New International Version. And it reads like this. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Also, I want you to flip over to John chapter 11. And we're going to read verses 32 through 36. And this is really a story about Jesus. And we'll see how this story coincides with Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitude, blessed are those who mourn. So John 11, verses 32 through 36 reads something like this. When Mary had reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. Her brother is Lazarus. We know that Mary also had a sister. Her name was Martha. And Jesus was their friend. He loved them so much. But while Jesus was doing ministry elsewhere, Lazarus was sick. He ended up dying. And Jesus was not there at the moment. And we pick up in this story where Mary finally sees Jesus. And she says, man, if you'd have just been here, Lazarus would not have died. Have you ever felt like there was something in your life that happened, and if Jesus would have just showed up, it wouldn't have happened? Has there ever been a time that you felt like Jesus should have been there in your situation, but you don't feel like he was there? This is how Mary felt. She says, I love this. If you had been there, my brother would not have died. Mary's dealing with the loss of her brother, and the emotions are so much that she goes to Jesus and says, God, if you would have just been there. Maybe you've lost somebody recently due to COVID, and you prayed all the prayers that you could possibly pray, and for whatever reason, they didn't make it, or you're in this process of mourning right now, where you say, God, if you'd have been there, if you'd have showed up, how many prayers do I have to pray? If you'd have just been there, things would have been different. Well, the Bible goes on to say in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Verse 34, where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Then all the Jews said, see how he loves him. If you're taking notes on this second part of Stressed But Blessed, I've entitled it this, Why Jesus Wept. Why Jesus Wept. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that you have made, God. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God, I thank you that before the earth began to spin on its axis, you knew each and every person that would be watching this message right now from their homes or from their offices or wherever they are right now. And I pray that they are blessed by it, God. I pray that I would lie down as you rise up. Don't let these words be my own, but let them come directly from your throne room of grace. God, I pray that hearts, minds, and ears will be receptive to a word that will always be about Jesus. And God, once again, I pray for those that are in a tough spot right now. They're grieving, they're mourning, and they cannot mourn properly. God, I pray you would touch them right now in a new way. Let them know that you didn't forget about them, that you're always with them, and that when they mourn, they are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you've heard me talk about this now for a few weeks, and you're all living this and you're experiencing this, but living in a world under quarantine has its challenges. I think one of the toughest things about this time is that certain things that we would normally do, we just can't do them. And difficult times in a time like this seem to be amplified because we can't even respond to those difficult times the way that we normally would. As a pastor, I get the phone calls all the time. My relative has COVID. There's folks that have been affected in our church that are going through this same thing. Others that don't have COVID, but people are in hospitals right now. And then I get the phone calls about somebody's passed in this time. And I want you to just hear me first and foremost. My heart breaks for you, but I want you to understand that God's heart breaks for you. It is so, the world's hard enough as it is. It's really hard when you have to suffer loss in this time. And yes, we know we're believers. We're blessed. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed when we come and when we go. We know that, but it doesn't make it less difficult to endure loss right now. I've had to be a part of really trying to counsel and pray people through their moments of grieving. And I don't care how long I've known Jesus or how long I've been a pastor. It's never an easy conversation to have. It's very difficult trying to help somebody grieve when they can't even grieve properly. People have been doing Zoom funerals and social media funerals. And then there are those whose family members' bodies haven't even been released from the hospital. So they have nothing to hold on to. They have nothing to grieve over. And man, it's a stressful situation. It's a stressful time to be in. And because of this time of isolation, I've found more often than not that people can't even grieve properly. And my fear is that some of us may come out of this season worse than the way that we came in because we haven't had a chance to deal with grief properly. Hear me when I say this. I know you're grieving. I know you're hurting, but you are not alone in your grief. If what I describe sounds like your life right now, I want you to know you need to take the proper time to grieve. Take the proper time to grieve. Don't let people like rush you through the process because there's a time for it. I love what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 4. And you've probably heard this verse many a time, but it says, there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Hear me, saints. Mourning is not only healthy, it's biblical. The Bible tells us that there is a time for mourning. We must not, in this moment, abandon our brothers and sisters in a time of mourning. We're called to mourn with them. Your hurt is my hurt. Your pain is my pain. I want you to understand that this is a church that cares about you. We love you and we mourn with you. The Bible tells us in Matthew 5, chapter 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Listen to that. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. This is once again the paradox of the gospel. I'm blessed when I mourn. That for me, that doesn't resonate. That doesn't make sense. How am I blessed when I mourn? I want you to get this, guys, that mourning, Jesus tells us to look at mourning as a blessing. Wow. It's such a powerful thought that is so counterculture to everything that my mind is wired to do. You mean to tell me as a believer, I'm supposed to be counted as blessed when I mourn? Yes, mourning is a blessing. And here's why. I preached many times that when you suffer loss, your action should not just stop at prayer. I've heard saints say, oh, you just got to pray and get over it. No. Stop. That's not what we do. When we are grieving, when we are hurting, yes, we pray. Absolutely. I will pray with anybody that is going through hurt and pain right now. I pray and plead the blood of Jesus over your life. I pray that the Holy Spirit comforts you in this time in Jesus' name. I say that and I mean that from my heart. And I pray that God blesses those that are hurting right now. But you cannot just stop at prayer. You have to pray. You can't just pray and push forward. You have to pray, process, and push forward. Pray, process, and push forward. What happens is we pray and we push forward, but we leave out the process. This is why there's a blessing in mourning, because mourning is the process that begins our healing. If you leave out the process, the long-term effects can be damaging to you. You see, mourning doesn't mean that you're a weakling. It actually means that your prayers are working. Why? Because mourning starts the process of healing. There's people that are going through stuff and you're just trying to be tough and you're just trying to be strong. You haven't allowed yourself to mourn. What you're literally doing is postponing the healing process because you're not allowing your mind and your heart and your body to naturally do what it needs to do for you to continue to move forward. Mourning is a blessing because it starts the process of healing. Hear me, saints. Mourning puts a comma where death puts a period. Listen to me. Mourning puts a comma where death puts a period, because those who mourn, if you're a believer and you mourn, you know that it's not the end of the story. You know that death is not final. You know that there is something beyond. You're mourning because you're sad for the loss on this side, but you know that they'll wake up on the other side in the arms of Jesus. Mourning doesn't last forever. You say, how do you know that? Because Psalms 30 verse 5 tells me this, that weeping may endure for the night. But there's a conjunction there. I love that because there's more to the story. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping has a season. Weeping has a time. But when you believe in the power of Jesus Christ, when you are in relationship with him, when you know that heaven is your home, weeping lasts for a season, but it cannot last forever. And weeping is always followed by joy. Joy comes in the morning. For the Bible says that those that sow in tears shall reap in songs of joy. I just want to remind somebody that's cried a lot in this season. I want to remind somebody that is hurt in this season. Those tears are falling on fertile soil that will come back to you in joy. And when God gives you joy, in turn, that joy will give you strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. We don't need to be stoic in this time. We don't need to be emotionless. We serve the God that is emotional and gave us emotions so that we can process the things that we are going through. Yes, I am stressed, but I have my emotions to help me process so that I can get to the blessing. You see, Jesus allows us to see. He gives us an in-depth picture so that we know that when we mourn, we are not alone. God wraps himself in flesh and he shows us, hey, you got emotions for a reason. So much so, I'm going to show you that I have emotions too. And Jesus, God walking in the flesh, he is saddened. He is burdened. He is grieving. He is mourning by the death of his friend Lazarus in John chapter 11. And if you want to understand why there's a blessing in mourning, look no further than Jesus, because he helps us understand the power of the process of mourning. You see, it's okay to take moments to cry because Jesus cried. So let's talk about why Jesus wept. Why Jesus wept. First, you have to understand that Jesus weeps with you. Some of you think that you're in a place of solitude right now when nobody understands your pain and nobody knows what's going on. Let me tell you something. We serve a God as a believer in Jesus, as a Christian. I'm never weeping alone. I serve a Savior that weeps with me. John 11:33 says, when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come along with her were also weeping. He was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Let's stop right there. That word deeply moved in the Greek is embrimeomai. Embrimeomai. And it means intense grief involving sympathy and anger. Sympathy and anger. Let's start with the sympathy. Intense grief involving sympathy. One of the reasons that Jesus says that we are blessed when we mourn in Matthew chapter 5 is because our tears signal sympathy from the people around us. Our tears are a signal that when the signal goes out to others, in turn, they mourn with us. You say, how do you know? Well, I've experienced this many times in my life. My wife, I love my wife so much. And we've been together for 20 plus years now. And the thing about it is, nobody knows me the way that I know my wife, and nobody knows her the way that I know her. And when things affect her, we've been together so long that now they affect me. Now, I like to consider myself the tough guy. You know, I try to have some machismo, you know. But let me tell you something. You want to see a grown man cry? When I see that girl cry, when I see tears start to roll down her face, when I feel like she's hurting and there's nothing I could do about it, when I feel that pain welling up inside of her and those tears start to stream down her face and that voice starts to crack, let me tell you something. Nothing makes this grown man cry faster than when I see my wife cry. You say, well, why is it you soft? No. Listen. When she cries, it's a signal to me that something inside of her is not right. She is grieving. She's hurting. And I never want my wife to hurt alone. When she's hurting, it hurts me. When she's grieving, I grieve too. When she's mourning, I mourn as well. When she's broken, there's something inside my spirit that wells up. And I want to be in that same broken space as she is, because I want her to know that I sympathize with her, that I empathize with her, that I care about the things that she cares about. See, I love this because when we look in this story, it says Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her were also weeping. So what do Mary's tears do? Mary's tears send out signals of sympathy that allow the people around her to start mourning. And when Jesus sees this, He begins to have a reaction. Mary's tears inspired the tears of others, and their tears provoked sympathy from Jesus. Saints, I want to encourage somebody today. Do not hold back your tears. When you are in mourning, when you are grieving, you let your tears go, because you got to mourn the way you need to mourn. You got to grieve the way you need to grieve, because when your heart breaks, just know that the heart of God breaks with you. Jesus is broken when you are broken. If you think you're having a hard time getting past moments of sorrow, can I tell you, nobody sympathizes more with you than Jesus? For the Bible calls him a man of sorrow, a man of sorrow. You think you got pain. You think you're going through hurt. Jesus literally is called a man of sorrow. In Isaiah 53:4, it says he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You are going through pain, but Jesus is well acquainted with your grief. He is well acquainted with your pain. Psalms 147, I love it. Verse 3, it says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. He understands your brokenness and he does whatever he has to do to go through the spaces that are broken and mend them back together. Psalms 34:18. I'm just speaking these verses over somebody's life because I know people are in pain. I know people are hurting. Psalms 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. When you feel low, when you feel broken, when you feel crushed, I want you to understand that the long arms of God want to scoop you up. They want to hold you because, man, he saves those that are crushed in spirit. He is close. Some of y'all think you're far in your brokenness, but your brokenness makes you closer than when you think you're whole. He's close to the broken heart. I want to encourage somebody in this place. When you're going through it, you get your tears out. You get every tear you can out on this earth, because here's the good news, friends. One day you won't be able to cry tears anymore, because God's going to take all those tears away. For the Bible says in Revelations 21:4 that God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Listen, when you got to cry on this earth, cry on this earth, but we serve the God that says, one day I'm going to take all your tears away. One day I'm going to take all your pain away. One day I'm going to take all your hurt away. All you got to do is trust in me. I know you are going through some hurt right now. I know y'all have lost some folks that you couldn't see that was so close to you. Parents, grandparents, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, children. I know people are losing folks left and right, but I just want you to hear me loud and clear when I say this. When you cry, Jesus, he cries with you. When you mourn, Jesus, he mourns with you. He cries about the things that make you cry. I'm blessed when I mourn because I know that God mourns with me. Hear that. Hear that and feel the comfort in that word. And you're not just mourning on your own. Your grief, your tears, bring tears to the heart of our God. But not only does Jesus mourn with you, Jesus doesn't just weep with you, he weeps for you. He weeps for you. Oh, saints, it encourages me so much to know that I have a Savior that weeps, that cries for me. And why does he do it? Jesus wept because of the pain that sin had caused on him. I'm going to say it again. Jesus had wept because of the pain that the sin causes. He weeps for the pain that sin causes. John 11:33. I'm going to read it again. I want you to stay with me, saints. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her were also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. Once again, that word, deeply moved, that phrase in the Greek is embryomeomai. And it means intense grief involving sympathy and anger. We talked about the sympathy. We know that he sympathizes with you and he cries with you, but it's not just grief involving intense sympathy. It's grief involving intense sympathy and anger. Oh, saints, I want you to hear me. You know when God has changed you? You know when you're really starting to really catch this Christian thing? You know when God's really done a work in your heart? When you begin to feel sympathy over people's pain and misery, but you become angry at the sin. I feel for people all the time. But if I could be honest, sin makes me angry. And it didn't just make me angry. It makes Jesus angry. I want you to hear this. If we have a God that cries, if we serve a God that cries, if he has that emotion, don't you think he gets angry too? We get our emotions from him. There's a righteous indignation that our Father carries, and you should always strive for righteous indignation, righteous anger. And see, God, he sympathizes with your pain, but let me tell you, he's angry at sin. I've been a pastor for a long time, man, a really long time, 14, 15 years now. And what I'll say is that people have approached me with all kinds of circumstances. I've heard every story that I think I could possibly hear, man. People got some testimonies. People, they got some issues, and they come to me about a lot of stuff. You know, Pastor, man, I can't be forgiven. You don't know what I've done. You know, I've abused people. I've been abused myself. I dealt with sexual abuse. I've dealt with drug abuse. I've been addicted. I can't stand my wife. I want a divorce. I can't stand my husband. I want a divorce. They've lied. They've cheated. They've stolen. They've done all kinds of things. And I listen to it, and I get sad for them because of the experience that they've had to go through, but my spirit begins to get moved and frustrated and angry about the sin that has caused their experience. You see, what you have to understand is that when God starts to change things on the inside of you, sin is gonna push you to a place where you get upset because you know the outcome of sin. I get angry, not at the person. I get angry at the sin because I know the outcome of sin. For the Bible tells me in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death. See, with death, with sin, comes sorrow, comes grieving, comes pain for everyone. If we had gotten this right in the beginning in the garden, you and I wouldn't even have to deal with all the issues that we deal with right now. We'd be living in a sinless, perfect, beautiful world. But sin enters humanity. And Jesus, he knew it all the way from the beginning. He's redemption before creation. He was there in the garden with Adam and Eve when they chose wrong, when they chose to be disobedient, when they allowed sin to enter the world. And it's so disappointing when you know that things can be better. It's frustrating when you know the plan that you have for somebody, but because of their disobedience, they mess it up. I love my daughter, man. She's awesome. But when she misbehaves, I'm not only disappointed, but I'm angry at the things that she does. I'm not angry at her, but I'm angry at the things that she does because I know the long-term consequences of the things that she does. Anytime sin enters the picture, as a believer, anger should enter your spirit because you understand the consequence of the action. And I love Jesus because in his righteous indignation, it leads him to compassion. He sees the tears of Mary. He sees the tears of the people, and he thinks about the fact that Lazarus is dead, and the only reason that he's dead is because sin enters the world, and the wages of sin is death. And as a result of Jesus's compassion, we get the shortest but the most beautiful verse in the Bible, John 11:35. Jesus wept as a result of the frustration of sin. Jesus wept. That word wept in the Greek is dekruo, and it means burst into tears, then weep silently. Burst into tears. This was not just a normal cry. It's trying to paint the picture of us that Jesus, he burst into tears. There was real raw emotion about losing a friend that he loved so much. He burst into tears. And Jesus did not just weep because of death. You see, he knew he could fix that. For he said before he ever got to the place that this sickness will not end in death. Yes, Lazarus was dead, and to the mere person, they thought it was done. Jesus already knew that this wasn't going to end in death. So he wasn't crying merely because Lazarus was dead. He knew he could fix that. But he wept because death is the wages of sin. Death, listen to me, death only has to be experienced because of sin. This is what moves the heart of God. Sin is what brings God to tears because it caused something that was not part of the original design, which is death. So it moves the heart of God. I never forget, years ago, my father, he was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. I was in the middle of a church service, and I got the word, and it wasn't looking good, man. I saw my mother and my brother. They met me backstage. They were in tears as they were telling me what was going on. I jumped in my car and I rushed to the hospital as fast as I could. And I'll never forget this. With tears in my eyes, I was sad because I didn't want to lose my father. And at that time, I wasn't sure what my father's relationship with Jesus was. Now he's the most saved, sanctified person of all time. He brings more people to church than anybody. But back when this had happened, when we was diagnosed with congestive heart failure, I just didn't know. I was a preacher myself, but I wasn't even sure if my own father was ready or had accepted Jesus in his heart. Now I was sad because what was happening to him, but I was frustrated. I honestly got angry about it. And I'll never forget, with tears in my eyes, I drove to that hospital as fast as I could. And I'll never forget the words I said. I literally said, "Devil, you cannot have my father. You cannot have him in the name of Jesus. He will know God before this is all said and done. This is not his time. You can't." And I went like, if I could like cuss somebody out as a Christian, I went off on the devil. I straight up went off on him because I was upset by the fact that the only reason that my father or any of us have to deal with death is because of this sin issue that the enemy's lies allowed to enter into this world. And I had compassion on my father like never before. I didn't want him just to live. I wanted him to live because I wanted him to have an opportunity to know Jesus. And thank God the end of the story is, I already told you, he loves Jesus now more than ever. He is awesome. I'm not really worried about his place in eternity, but in that moment, there was a compassion that welled up on the inside of me. And there was a righteous indignation that did not want sin to allow its grips to take my father down. And this is what brings Jesus to tears. In context to Lazarus, the same compassion that Jesus had for Lazarus and his family is the same love and compassion he has for you and me today. And you say, "How do you know that?" I know because he gave his life on a cross to prove it. All the pain, all the weeping, all the sorrow, all the hurt, he didn't just have it for them, he has it for us. And he uses the cross as the ultimate sacrifice to show us how much he loves us and how much he grieves for us, because he does not want sin to take us down a path that we cannot come back from. So why did Jesus weep? I believe that Jesus wept because he weeps with us and he weeps for us. He wept. Listen to this, saints. Let this resonate in your spirit. If you hear nothing else today, I want you to hear this, that Jesus wept for us because he was fully aware of the consequences of sin and fully aware of what he would have to do to eradicate the curse of sin over our life. He knew that death was the only price that could be paid for our sin, and he wept because he didn't want us to pay it. So he paid it for us. He paid it for us. Jesus didn't have to, but even in his reluctance, he says, "Father, not my will, let your will be done." And he takes all our sin. He takes all our shame. He takes all our pain on a cross and kills the curse of sin forever because he loves us. His compassion for us leads to the greatest action of love in all of existence. Him sacrificing himself on a cross. Jesus says in Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Because he mourns for you, and he was willing to pay the price for your eternal comfort. Oh, saints, I just want you to just hold on. Blessed are those who mourn, because they will be comforted. Listen, as bad as things may be for you right now, as much as you may be mourning, understand that Jesus mourns for you. And the blessing is, because he mourns for you, not only does he have the ability to mourn for you, he has the ability through the cross of Calvary to comfort you. Because he took away everything that was taking away life from you when he killed it on a cross. You see, you are blessed when you mourn because Jesus paid the ultimate price for your comfort. I know there's folks out there today that are hurting and are in pain. I'm going to say it again like I've been saying this entire time. Jesus, he weeps with you and he weeps for you. Take the proper time to pray, to process, to push forward, because he's weeping with you. But the good news of it all is that he weeps for you. He did what nobody else could do for you because he loves you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, my call is simple and my call is clear. Man, if you want to serve the God that weeps for you, if you want to understand why there's a blessing in mourning, I can sum it all up in one word: Jesus. Jesus is the reason that we are blessed when we mourn. I'm not necessarily saying that things are going to get easy. I'm not necessarily saying that you're going to feel better in the moment. But trust me when I tell you that Jesus gave everything up so that he can comfort you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The greatest comfort that I can offer you today is not just a prayer, but it's salvation and eternal life with Jesus Christ. If you want Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you want to feel eternal comfort in this time, it only happens through Jesus. So if that's you, every head bowed, every eye closed, on the count of three, wherever you are, I want you to raise your hand. I know it's weird. Somebody might be looking. Doesn't matter what they're doing. Just matters. God sees you. He knows you're hurting. He mourns with you. He wants to cover you with his son, Jesus. On the count of three. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. I need Jesus. Yep, that's you. I don't see you, but God does. I need you wherever you are, in your home, in your office, in your car, wherever you are. I need Jesus. Yep, God sees you. God sees you. God sees you right now. There's even a little button that you can press right on the stream that it shows like a hand raised. I'm committing my life to Jesus. Click it. There's probably some information coming up on the screen right now. That's you. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Yes? All right. Bible says in Romans 10:9, that when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart, you're raised from the believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you're saved. Confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, he was raised from the dead, you're saved. That's it. So we're gonna pray. So if you want Jesus in your life, repeat this prayer after me. Everybody, come on, say, dear Jesus, I've sinned, not proud of it, but I admit it. Today, I lay my sin down. Take it, I pray. I don't want it anymore. I reach to heaven to receive your forgiveness, to take the place of my sin. I ask that you would accept me into your wonderful family. Today, I give my life completely to you. I'm yours, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. If you made that decision today for the first time, or man, you've been off and running for a long time, and you decided to come home today, you decided to get Jesus back in your life today, man, I'm so, so proud of you. Like I said, you click that button for salvation, or you text that number on the bottom of the screen. We just want to reach out to you, man. We want to pray with you. We want to let you know that you are part of a bigger family. If you're mourning, you don't have to mourn alone. Not only does Jesus mourn with you, we're a church that we want to stand by you. We want to stand with you in this time of sorrow, this time of grief, and let you know that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning light. So here's what I know, that when one comes back to the Father, there's a celebration in heaven. I can't open up the ceiling to show you, but I want to help you hear what it sounds like. So I'm going to shout on this end, but man, y'all start hitting those hearts, start hitting those claps. Come on, fam. You know what it is. We gonna scream for you louder than we ever have. And I want you to hear, because I want you to know what heaven is doing for you right now. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for my brothers and sisters that made that decision. Bless them right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. I'm so proud of you. Thank you for making that awesome decision today. Once again, follow the prompts on the screen. Follow the buttons in the chat. Make sure that we can connect with you, because you don't have to go through this alone. And if you're out there hurting right now and you've lost someone, you can always contact us at Cool Church. But I just want to pray for you right now. I want to pray. Reach towards me. You lost somebody. God, I thank you right now. I thank you right now that your word tells us that blessed are those that mourn, for they will be comforted. God, I pray you send your Holy Spirit as a comforter to them right now. Let them know that when they sow in tears, they will reap songs of joy. God, let them pray, process, and push forward. I'm praying right now, but God, help them in the process. Help them while they're waiting. God, let them know they're going to get through this. They don't have to do it alone, because you mourn with them and you mourn for them. I pray that. Bless them right now, God. Give them your joy. Give them your strength. In Jesus' name. Family, I love you so much. No matter how hard it is, we're going to get through it, and we're going to get through it together. Love you so much. If nobody told you, but more than that, God loves you. Reach towards me one last time. Let me bless you before you go. Father God, I thank you for the greatest people in all the world, the people of Cool Church. Bless them as they rise up, as they lie down, as they go out, as they come in their labor and in their leisure. God, surround them in your presence. And God, I pray for the eradication, the end, the swift, expedited end to this coronavirus. In Jesus' name, cover these saints from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Protect them and bless their family in Jesus' name. Amen. I love y'all so much. Man, I'm so glad you can come into my home with me. I love you. God bless you. Catch you next week. Peace.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends, because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.